Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter to the Ephesians, the letter of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament to the Ephesians just before Philippians, just after Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're just looking this evening at the first part of verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And this is our subject this evening, the helmet of salvation, or we could add a subtitle, the way we ought to think, the way we ought to think. So we continue in our series, working our way through the letter to the Ephesians. We have considered many wonderful things, but we are now taking our time each week to go through the armor of God and taking the various pieces of the armor of God bit by bit. And we have now come to the fifth piece of the armor. And this is the helmet of salvation. And I won't recap on all the other pieces of the armor, only to remind you, as I do every week, that each piece of the armor must be taken, not just one or two pieces. It is not optional to take one piece and leave the others. We must take on the whole panoply of God, the whole suit of armor. And so every piece is essential, every piece is vital, every piece must be put on. And well, last week, just very briefly, we looked perhaps at that piece that is overarching, that is perhaps of slightly more importance, the shield of faith. All of them are important. But faith was the subject last week, and without faith, all the other parts of the armor cannot be effective or cannot be useful, cannot be profitable. All the other pieces of the armor depend on faith, because, of course, faith is at the very center of our Christian lives. We are saved by faith, not by our works. And faith is so vital to all that we do, and it defends us from the fiery darts of the wicked one. If we are tempted to sin, well, what do? We must exercise faith. We must exercise faith and know that it is worth resisting sin. Satan will try to tempt us. We must have this. We must have that. Faith says to us and teaches us, we can forsake those things. We have a greater reward in Christ. We are not losing out on anything in this world. We have all things in Christ. We have faith. Faith gives us the strength to overcome all the fiery darts of the wicked. We remember Moses, how he forsook the pleasures of sin for a season because he had faith. That was in Hebrews 11, the great chapter on faith. That's the same for us. We can forsake the pleasures of sin for a season because we have a greater reward in Christ. And so by faith, we prefer, we favor the things that are unseen, not the things that are seen. Faith is the evidence of things that are unseen. That is the very nature of faith. The world will tempt us with those things that we can see and touch and taste, but faith overcomes. We don't need those things. Faith is that which strengthens us and helps us. It's the shield of faith. It protects us. But that's just a very brief recap on what we considered last week. This week, very briefly, and I'll try not to be too long in these hot conditions, but we are going to consider the helmet of salvation in verse 17. The helmet, again, a vital piece of armor for the Roman soldier. The helmet of iron and brass in those days gave protection for the head. And the head, of course, needed to be protected. Any injury to the head, particularly, was incredibly serious. And so when we apply this spiritually, the head or the mind of the Christian must be protected. The mind of the Christian must be healthy. And this is very important for us to understand. Now, I often say, and this will come across as quite contradictory, I often say that Christianity is a heart religion and that it's not just an intellectual exercise. And that is very true. If we do not have love in our hearts for Christ, then our religion is vain. But that doesn't mean that the head is bypassed. That doesn't mean that the mind is ignored completely. It is not at all. Christianity is not a mindless religion. The mind is very important, and I will attempt to present to you how and why that is in the time that we have together this evening. But first of all, just before we look at the mind, notice how it is phrased here. Take the helmet of salvation. We are instructed to take it. Take the helmet of salvation. And this again reminds us of what we considered last week, that salvation is not something that we earn. We take it, we receive it, we stretch out the empty hand of faith. We don't merit our salvation. That's all the other religions. All the other religions have some kind of works-based, performance-based aspect to it. We simply take, we simply receive the grace of our God. And this idea is again being presented to us in verse 17. You take the helmet of salvation. Salvation is free. It is a free gift. And when we took that gift of salvation, yes, the heart was most certainly engaged, but the head too was involved. The mind was involved when we came to Christ. Of course it was. In fact, I often say that a Christian, a seeking Christian, is one who has actually begun to think about things, to think seriously about the meaning of life, about the world, about man, about the nature of man, about God. Is God real? And if he is, what does that mean for us? Where are we going after this life? What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of death? A Christian is actually somebody who started to think about these things. The rest of the world doesn't think about these things. The rest of the world, they just go about their business mindlessly, just going along with the crowd. Whatever anybody else thinks, I will think it. They never actually stop and think, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Why is there death? Is there a God? Nobody ever thinks about these things. They never engage their minds. And I'm sure I've told you this many times, but when I was seeking the Lord, I would try and engage people in these sorts of conversations, these sorts of things that would go beyond the trivial, and people would always shut me down. They would always say, you know, you think too much. Don't think too much. That's the way of the world. Don't think too much about things. Just be limited. Just be narrow. A Christian, somebody who's seeking, is actually starting to think. He's using his mind. So, dear friends, this is not a mindless religion. When we start seeking the Lord, we actually start engaging our mind. And when we come to the Lord, we must know and we must understand with our minds what Christ has done. We could even say that you are not truly saved until you understand at least the basics of what has happened to you. You must understand, of course, that you are a sinner, that you are born by nature a rebel against God. You must understand that in your mind. And you must understand, too, that God is holy and that one day we must stand before this God. And God is so holy, he must punish sin because of his holiness, because of his justice. There are things we must understand about God. It's not just blind faith. We understand these things. And of course, we understand that we can do nothing to save ourselves. It's not by our works. We must trust in Christ alone because he is our righteousness. He's the only one who's lived a perfect life. We haven't. Nobody else has in the history of the world except Christ, and he lived it for us. So that when we have faith in him, that righteousness is given to us, credited to us. These things you must understand in your mind. And then, of course, the atoning work of Christ. Do you understand what Christ did on the cross? I say this because there are so many people who will say they are Christians. They don't understand these things. If you ask them, what did Christ do on the cross? They will look blankly. They won't be able to answer somebody who asks them that question. Well, Christ, he took upon himself the punishment for our sin. We have sinned. Christ on the cross, our substitute, our scapegoat, the one who takes the blame, the punishment. God the Father punished him instead of us. This is what we are saved from. Again, you ask people, what are we saved from? You say you're saved. What are we saved from? People don't know how to answer this. We are saved from the wrath of God because Christ, he has taken the punishment upon himself. So, dear friends, these must all be understood. This must all be in our minds. And one of the great reasons why we must understand it, not just for our own salvation, but because we must share it with others. We have to share the gospel with others. And how are we going to do that if we don't understand it ourselves? We have that mandate to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we must know what the gospel actually is. These things are so important. We must put forward the gospel and we must understand it. This is a great part of what it is to take the helmet of salvation. The gospel message must be in our heads as well as in our hearts. But putting on the helmet of salvation, it also has other meanings, of course, as well, other applications and implications. Putting on the helmet of salvation, we are to think as saved people. And this is a great challenge for us. Putting on the helmet of salvation, it challenges the way that we think. How do we think in our minds? Do we think as those who belong to the Lord, as those who are saved, the helmet of salvation? Do we put on that head, as it were? Do we have that mindset? Or do we think as the world thinks? There is a great distinction. Again, many do not acknowledge this distinction. But there is a great difference in the way we think. We think of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the words of the Apostle Paul. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So before we were saved, what was our mind like? We were conformed to this world. In other words, we thought just like everybody else. We followed the same interests. We followed the same trends. We followed the same fashions. We had in our minds the same aspirations, the same ambitions. We had the same dreams, money, status, career. We had the same ideas on morality. We had the same ideas on what it is to be good and virtuous. And we were conformed to the world. But now that we are saved, what does the apostle say? We are to be transformed. Our minds have been renewed, our minds. We have put on our heads the helmet of salvation. You have been saved. A tremendous thing has happened to you. The work of the Holy Spirit. of course you're not going to think the same as you did before. Of course not. You've put on the helmet of salvation. Now we think like Christians. Now we have spiritual aspirations. No longer are our ambitions for ourselves. We want honor and glory for Christ, not for ourselves. We want glory for the Lord. And we have a different view on morality. We have the right view of what is right and what is wrong. The world will conform itself to its own standards. We conform ourselves to the Word of God. This is how we think. We have the right view of man. We have the right view of God. Even if it's not popular, even if the rest of the world hates it, so be it. We are not conformed to the world. We are no longer conformed to what the world thinks. We have been transformed. Our minds have been renewed. And this is very important. This is one of the ways in which we can tell the authenticity of one who professes the Christian faith. How do they think? It's not just what they do, that's very important. But you know, somebody can act in a very Christian way, but they are thinking in a very worldly way. They are still conformed to the ways of this world. How do they think? Sometimes you can tell how they think in the way that they talk, the things that they say, the way that they behave. They will talk and behave much like the rest of the world. But dear friends, this is a challenge to all of us. How do we think? Do we think like the world? Are we still conformed to the world? Are we still scared of the world and feel as though we have to fit in to the way the world thinks? We are to be transformed, having our minds renewed, says the Apostle Paul. And then there is humility. This is how we think. Taking the helmet of salvation, there is humility, because of course, when we were saved, we had to humble ourselves. That was the first thing that happened. When we came to the Lord, humble ourselves before Christ, humble ourselves at the foot of the cross. Christians are to be humble. And well, we can look just very briefly. Excuse me, you don't have to turn to it, but you know these words very well. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, just over the page, really. Look at these words. Let this mind be in you. Note that word. Let this mind. This is how we are to think as Christians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, to put it very simply, he did not refuse to condescend, to come down, to humble himself, as it were, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is that exhortation. This is how we are to think. Let this mind be in you. You must be humble. Christ is our great example. Christ, the Almighty God, the very riches of heaven, he humbled himself. And he was found in fashion as a man. Do we humble ourselves? Or are we so proud? Again, this is the world. The world, of course, doesn't humble itself. The world will not repent before God because it's proud. The world will always think of itself, self-centered, man-centered, constantly thinking about their own rights. We live in a society. I have this right. I have that right. I must insist upon it. This is not the mind of Christ. Christ humbled himself. He gave up his throne. He didn't have to. Out of love for his people, he humbled himself. Let this mind be in you, not the world and all of its thinking and all of its pride, and you must have this, you must think of yourself and all that sort of thing. Let this mind be in you. This is the helmet of salvation. It covers the head. And so all of our thoughts must be characterized with humility. If the Lord gave up his heavenly throne to die for us, even the death of the cross, the worst death, surely we must humble ourselves. And we must not be too proud to do so. There is humility. This is how we think. This is part of what it is to wear the helmet of salvation. We think too of holiness. I'm trying to rush through these points as quickly as possible. Holiness. You know there is that exhortation again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We are commanded to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Of course, we're saved. We're wearing the helmet of salvation. Are we therefore entitled to think what we like? No, we're saved people. It's the world that likes to think what it likes about various things and invent its own doctrines and its own philosophies. We have been given a commandment to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we must have that mental discipline in our thoughts. We can be, again, disciplined in our bodies, but are we disciplined in our thoughts? The Lord sees our thoughts. There is one of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments, that occupies itself solely with our thoughts. Thou shalt not covet. That concerns the thought life, doesn't it? You don't have to act or do anything. But covetousness, it's the 10th commandment. In other words, the Lord takes into account your very thoughts, not just your deeds, what you do. The thoughts, we are commanded, keep each thought in captivity to Christ. This is, of course, where sin so often originates, in the mind. When we start thinking of something, when we start imagining something, then we get carried away. Then the heart gets involved. The heart starts to love the things that you are thinking of. And then before too long, your body is following out, acting out, as it were. But it all started with your thoughts, the things that you were thinking. So there is no surprise why the Apostle Paul says to us, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There must be discipline in our thoughts, or else things will get on top of us. Satan will get in. This, of course, aligns with that other verse in Philippians that, again, we know very well. We read it earlier, and our brother read it out to some of our young people earlier today, Philippians 4 and, verse 7 and 8, you can look at Philippians 4, verses 7 and 8. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice both your hearts and your mind. The mind is important. But look at what we're called to think on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We are to think those things that are pure. We are to think upon those things that are lovely, love-inducing. Do we spend time thinking of how we can love each other more? That would be a good discipline. How can we love each other more in our church, in our families? That would be a wonderful way to expend our thinking, rather than thinking of trivial things, things that do not really matter. People spend so much time thinking of things that are totally irrelevant, thinking of things that are not even real, films and movies and so on, soaps, EastEnders and things like that. They spend their whole time thinking about these things. Think about those things that are true, serious, This is how a Christian cultivates his thinking and disciplines his mind. These things, they are all so important. I've given the illustration before, but imagine if there was a screen broadcasting all of your thoughts in public, a screen in your church broadcasting all the thoughts that you've had in the last week. Would it be fit to watch? Would it be safe to watch? This is really what the apostle is saying here. Just think about those things, that if everybody knew what you were thinking, they would be praiseworthy thoughts. And so this is a great challenge for us, isn't it? May the Lord help us in all these things. But let me just begin to draw to a close with some final applications, practical things perhaps we can do. We must meditate on the word. We could have spent a whole message on that. The helmet of salvation. How do we keep each thought captive to Christ? Meditate upon the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, he's instructed, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Dear friends, when you read the word of God, do you meditate upon it? Not just reading and then just slamming your Bible shut as though you've ticked a box. You have to think about what you're reading. Make some notes if it helps you. What does this passage teach me? What can I learn from this scripture reading? Is there a principle I can apply to my life? What are the lessons of these words? Meditate upon scripture. Memorizing scripture is a good thing to do. It seems to have been neglected in modern Christianity to memorize scripture, certainly in some circles. But when you memorize scripture, you can't help but meditate upon it. When you're thinking upon it repeatedly in your head, you just end up meditating upon it. Well, what does it mean, this thing that I'm memorizing? We must memorize scripture. The world memorizes, doesn't it, all of its pop songs and all of the things that are irrelevant and trivial. They can just recite them without any trouble at all. But Christians, sometimes we have trouble even reciting the most basic or the most well-known verses of scripture. That is a shame upon us if the world knows its own mantras better than we know the word of God. Let us seek to memorize scripture. And by the way, meditating upon the word of God brings great peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When you spend your whole time or much of your time meditating upon the word of God, you will be at peace. It's when we start thinking about the world and when we think about all the trouble in the world and we start watching the news and we start worrying about this and about that and about this situation in my life and that situation, that's when we start to fall apart. But what does the Lord say? Think upon his word. It will keep you in perfect peace. So it's not just a discipline, it's for your own benefit. We have the helmet of salvation. We don't meditate on our own problems. We're very good at doing that. We meditate on the word of God, and the Lord gives us peace. But one final point, yes, we meditate, but putting on the helmet of salvation, We must remember how easy it is for us to forget, how easy it is sometimes for us to forget that we are the Lord's people. This is why it's so good to come to church, to come to services as regularly as you can. I'm not trying to push this. I'm trying to make the point, because if we go a whole week or a good number of days without coming into the house of the Lord, you know how easy it is to forget who we are and how we ought to behave and how we ought to be thinking. We get caught up in the things of the world. We forget that we are Christians. And so this is one of the benefits, We must remember that we belong to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he reminded the Ephesians, didn't he, in Ephesians 5, verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Remember how the Lord has saved you. You once belonged to the world, but now you were changed. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Have you forgotten that you have been saved? There was that change. You belonged to the world at one stage. Now you are children of light. Are you still walking as though you haven't been saved at all? Do you not remember your salvation? You have to remember these things. Walk as children of light. Remember Lot's wife, said the Lord. Remember how Lot's wife, she looked back. She looked back at the world, at what she had left behind. The Lord was leading her to salvation. She looked back. She got turned into a pillar of salt. Don't be like that. Remember Lot's wife. We meditate, yes, but we remember. Remember your testimony. Well, I've already mentioned it, but I just say it briefly. The devil will always come and attack us, try and make out that we're not truly saved. We never were saved. Do you remember your testimony? How there was that true salvation experience, true conversion? You know that there was once that time you weren't saved, and then you knew the peace of God, that peace through Christ and through all that he has done for you. Remember your testimony. Remember the promises of God. So many promises. I won't mention them now. It's too late. But don't question them. Remember the promises of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Remember where you are going, dear friends. And we mentioned this last week. Remember that you are heading for an everlasting glory. Look ahead to eternity. This will help you in the battles that we face, in the trials and tribulations. Remember where you are going, and remember how all of this the trial of this life and all the tribulations of this life will be nothing compared to that glory, to that eternal glory. This is the word of God. This is the promise of God. We remember that. It's at the forefront of our mind. We put on the helmet of salvation. And we remember the love of God toward us. You know, even though sometimes we forget the Lord and we forget that we are the Lord's people, the Lord thinks always upon us. He never forgets us. Do you ever remember this? That you're always upon the mind of Christ. He never forgets you for a second. Even when we feel as though we are forsaken, even though we feel we are in the darkest of places, the Lord is with us. He hasn't forgotten us. He knows our trial. He knows our difficulty, our sadness, our sorrow. Remember that you are always upon his mind, and his love is ever upon us. So, dear friends, much more I could have said, but I've already kept you long enough. But this is the helmet of salvation. It concerns the head. It concerns our minds. It concerns our thoughts. We think as those who are saved, not as the world. The world thinks very differently. Do not be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind, and take that helmet of salvation.